some thinking along the lines of giving and receiving. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." This is an impressive thought when you stop and meditate upon it, because Jesus is encouraging us to ask. He's encouraging us to ask because asking is a kind of giving, isn't it? And then the purpose is so that we can get, so that we can receive. So here he is encouraging the same principle that we've been talking about today. "For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened." And then he uses the illustration of a son asking his father for things. If a son asked his father for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? And when this is recorded again in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, "How much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How many of you would like to have the Holy Spirit? That's the one Jesus picks out above all the good gifts. And isn't that who we need? Don't we need the Holy Spirit? When you feel bad and you feel hurt and maybe you're worried about something that's coming up, can you think of a better thing to receive than to receive God's presence? That'll get you through anything, won't it? So God says, if you, being evil fathers, meaning we're not perfect, we don't always have the right motives, we don't always do the right thing, but you still know how to give good gifts. Even people that aren't Christians know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more your Heavenly Father? Jesus is encouraging us to give, encouraging us. Again, in that 11th chapter of Luke, I really like the story Jesus tells about, well, he asks the people, he says, "Which of you having a neighbor, you're lying in bed at midnight, and your neighbor comes over and knocks on the door at midnight?" If somebody knocks on your door at midnight, what do you think? Yeah. And if something's wrong and you think, there better be something wrong. That's what you're really thinking, is this better be emergency. It better be worth it. So imagine if your neighbor just wants to borrow some bread for some company he's got. See, it's very easy to think, why are you bothering me tonight? You know, Jesus says, if your neighbor comes over and does this, are you going to say, which would be true, we're in bed, my family's in bed, I can't give you anything right now, come over in the morning, maybe I can give you something then. Jesus says, is that what you're going to tell your neighbor? And the answer is no. You don't tell your neighbor that, even though it's true, and even though you could do it. What do you do instead? You give to your neighbor. Your importunate neighbor, who's kind of out of line for asking for this, but you're going to give it to him anyway. Why did Jesus tell that story? Because he's encouraging us to ask. Says if you'd give to a rude neighbor, your rude neighbor asked you for something, and you gave him what he asked for. Well, if you do that for a rude neighbor, what will God do for you when you ask him for the things that you need? He is encouraging us to ask so that God can give to us. We need to learn to give so that we can receive from God. And what happens if we don't pay attention to this? Well, James talks about that, doesn't he, in James chapter 4. Remember what he said there, James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? How come people don't get along? How come people have arguments? How come people fight? Don't they come from your own lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill, you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. A lot of the things we need, and the good things that we need, if we don't have them, it's because, James says, we didn't ask for them. And that's really obvious, isn't it? It's so obvious you might think, well, why does he even say that? But it's because it's one of those things that we have a hard time figuring out. If there's something good you're supposed to have, God is asking you to ask for it. When you ask for it, then God can do something for you. But if you don't ask, he can't give it. Now, remember why that's true. If you had a violin and you couldn't play it, but you wanted somebody to have it, who would you give your violin to? You'd give it to somebody that you thought would appreciate it, that would use it. And then if you gave them the violin and you came around a year later and found out that in the time they'd had the violin, they'd not only used it, they had learned to play it pretty well. You know what that would make you do? It would cause you to want them maybe to even give them something more. They did such a good job with that violin. Just think what they could do with a really good violin. I think I'll give them a good violin. I have been amazed different times when someone would give me something really nice. It was because I had just shown an interest in it. They didn't sell it to me. They gave it to me because I liked what they had. I was interested in it. And so we have things sometimes that we'd like to give to somebody, but we don't want to give them to just anybody. We want to give it to somebody who appreciates it. God gives to people who appreciate what he gives. God is limited in his giving by us. We are the ones that determine how much he gives. God can give more if we're willing to give back. But if we do not give, God cannot give all that he wants to give to us. Could you imagine if you gave the violin to a child and you checked a few months later and they haven't even picked it up? Well, you certainly don't want to give them any other instrument, do you? You don't want to give them a better violin for sure, because they didn't even use the one they had. God wants to know, will you use what I've given you? If you'll use what I've given you, I've got a lot more to give you. There's a lot more where that came from. But many people will restrict God's giving because they will never use what God gave them. God gives us grace, and he wants us to use the grace so he can give us more. God has this ability to give, and he encourages us to ask, and not to ask to consume it upon our own lusts, as James said, but to ask for things that are good for us. And remember James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Well, does anybody lack wisdom? No, I think I'm okay. Oh, okay. Well, if you're all right on wisdom, fine. This doesn't apply to you. You can read something else. But if there is anyone that lacks wisdom, if there is, ask from God. He gives to all men liberally. He gets out a big measurer, and when he gives it out, he's generous. It's wonderful how he does it. But those that don't lack wisdom, don't worry, you're fine. You're pretty smart. You're just naturally bright, I guess. But that wasn't the way Solomon was it? Solomon was different. Solomon knew he lacked wisdom. And we are wise if we first figure out that we're not wise. I'm not very smart. I don't really know how to do this. You can bluff, you can pretend, but it's better to say, I just don't know how to do this. I need help. God, please help me. And then God will help you, and he won't upbraid you. He won't get mad at you. He won't make fun of you. He won't tease you. That's what people do sometimes, isn't it? You ask them for something, they'll hold that over you. Oh, so you want something from me now? Well, let me think about it. Let me think about it, and I'll see if I want to give it to you. That's the way people are when they have something that somebody else wants. But God doesn't do that. God has great things to give, but he has to see if we want them first. He's not going to waste them if we are not interested in using them. So one of the things that we need to give God, as we alluded to this morning, is we need to give God a thing that Paul told Timothy is called study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Give something to God. Give God study. That means give him your best, your diligence. Give God your diligence, and then God will qualify you. He'll make you who you're supposed to be. You will be approved unto God, but you must give him your study. You can see how that applies in the church, can't you? If we want to grow and develop as the members of the body of Christ, God's asking us to give something, and that is our study. Do your very best. When you read the Bible, you get something out of it, don't you? You can get something from a reading. Then, if you stop and think about it, give a little bit more, don't you get some more then? And then if you study, and that means really start to look at it, and not just the passage, but compare to other, then you really start receiving, don't you? But God says, study. He's asking for study. You give him study, and watch what he gives you in return. And we have an outstanding example of that in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. This is just one case where Daniel gives to God, and God gives him so richly. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Here's Daniel. He's been given so much by God. God's been so good to him, and he's learned by experience. Romans 12, verse 2. He's learned, proven, that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. So here is a man of experience. And what's he doing in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes? What's he doing in the first year, verse 2, of his reign? I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years by the desolations of Jerusalem. Well, how long had that been written down? How many other Jews do you think knew about that verse in the Bible? Well, Daniel found it. That's what one thing we know for sure. Daniel found it. And so Daniel put in some study, and he got some valuable information. Did you know we're only going to be here 70 years? And that's coming up pretty soon here. We're only going to be here 70 years. Do you think other Jews cared very much? Maybe some did. But probably a lot didn't care. Probably a lot were getting used to living in Babylon. Well, I guess this is where we're going to be. But Daniel found out, you know, we're only going to be here 70 years. What does Daniel do? Because see, giving and receiving is a cycle. Whenever we receive, it's time to give. And then God's going to give back. We're going to receive some more. And then it's time to give him some more. And then he's going to give even more. It's pretty fun. It's give and take. So what's Daniel do when he finds this great information out? Verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel's giving quite a bit, isn't he? But you know, he's not giving near as much as what he's going to get. But Daniel's doing the right thing. This is life. What's the right response? You know, a lot of people, if they'd found out they were going to be there 70 years, they'd say, oh, good. Oh, it'll be great to get out of here. Be about time. Be about time we get to go back. Well, but Daniel doesn't think that way. Daniel feels bad. He's pricked in his heart. And he starts thinking about why they're there in the first place. He starts thinking about, will we actually get to go back to the land? Will we actually be able to sing the songs of Zion in Zion? You know, they couldn't do it by the rivers of Babylon when they were taunted, apparently, and said, why don't you sing us one of those songs of Zion that you guys love to sing? Come on, sing one to us. They couldn't do it. It was too sad. Daniel had the right heart. And so when he found out of this information about the captivity, it was just another reason to seek the Lord. And this is something that for us to remember, brethren, when we think about giving and receiving, think about how God wants us to give Him this attention. And if you give Him this attention, you're going to get something out of it. You know, it's kind of like listening to the announcements at church. Didn't you hear the announcements this morning? No, I didn't catch that. But that's what people do to God. They don't catch what He's saying. They don't, because they don't set their face. They don't pay attention to Him. But once you pay attention, it's like Yogi Berra said, it's amazing what you can see by looking. That's what we have to do with God. That's what Daniel's doing. He's trying to get something from God. And so he's going to set his face. See, this is deliberate. This is study. This is something you gotta decide you're going to do. Not, well, I hope someday I'll hear from God. I've heard people say that. Say, well, if God wants to talk to me, He'll talk to me. Well, they didn't get that from the Bible. That's just their own excuse. Well, if He never talks to me, I'm not accountable. Well, you need to pay attention first. Listen to God. That's what Daniel's doing. And then beginning in verse 4, we hear the prayer of Daniel. And we won't read all this, but basically to summarize his prayer, he's confessing his sins. He's confessing that the people have not done right. He's admitting their poor, miserable standing in the sight of God and begging for mercy, begging for God to keep His promises. We're counting on Your promises, Lord. We certainly can't go by how good we've been because we have failed You. We have sinned. He acknowledges God. This is what's so good. He's justifying God, like in verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. That's interesting. He knew what Moses said, didn't he? Moses told him real plainly, if you'll do whatever God says, God will give you all these blessings. And then, if you don't do all these things, all these curses will come upon you. I'm setting before you life and death. Choose life. Live. And now Daniel, you see, Daniel is justifying God. That's what we all have to learn to do. God is right. And what He says is true. And when it comes to pass, we should give Him the credit. Yes, the Lord warned us. The Lord told us. He was merciful and gave us time to change. God was being justified by Daniel. Then down in verse 20, after Daniel pleads for forgiveness, whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. How fast can angels fly? It's hard to fathom how fast they can fly. Fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Brethren, this glorifies God. This shows how great God is and how willing God was to answer Daniel. Daniel gave to God. He gave something precious to God. He gave him one of those prayers that's like a golden vial of perfume to God. Do you sisters like your perfume? Perfume is nice. It's precious to us. It's expensive, the real good kind. But God's perfume is your prayers. Prayers that come from a humble heart, according to God's will, and demonstrating that your heart is after God's heart. He loves those prayers. That's exactly what Daniel had offered. Daniel offered a prayer of truth. It reflected the truth of the whole situation. God's goodness and righteousness, our failures. God was pleased with Daniel's understanding of the truth. And when did he send Gabriel out? Remember what it says there, verse 23, at the beginning of your supplication. As soon as you started talking, Daniel, I got the permission to go. What does that say about the kind of giver God is? Okay, go. He didn't wait for what Daniel had to say, which is what we would have done. Wait a minute. Let's see what he has to say. See if we like what he says. Then we'll think about it. We just don't want to be too eager to give. Now let's just see here. And doesn't God make you think of the father in the parable of the prodigal son? Remember when the father saw the prodigal son? When he was a long ways off. Boy, he had good eyesight, didn't he? No, he was just looking for him. He was looking for him. And as soon as... Is that? That's him. It's him. As soon as he could be recognized, the father saw him. And the father went out to meet him. The father was always going out. He had to go out to meet his prodigal son. He had to go out and talk to the older one too. He's always going out. But that's the kind of God he is. He wants us to be saved. He wants to give to us. We need incentive, encouragement to take advantage of his great resources. And so Daniel is given a great blessing here. What's Daniel get in exchange for his giving to God? Well, only one of the most fascinating prophecies that we have in the Bible. Won't say it's the best one, but it's sure one of the greatest ones. It's so fascinating. Daniel, do you like numbers? Are you interested in numbers? I've got some more numbers for you. I found somebody that likes numbers. This is great. Don't you like it when you find somebody that likes what you like? Met a woman recently. She said, I love beans. I thought, boy, you don't hear that too often. But I thought, that's all right. But it's nice to find somebody who likes what you like. Somebody that's interested in things you are interested in. And don't you think God's looking for those who are interested in what He's interested in? God gave that prophecy to Jeremiah about 70 years of captivity, explained it. It was, you know, 1 year for every year they hadn't let the land rest, 490 years. Well, here's another 70. Daniel, I'm going to give you another 70. And from this, isn't it wonderful to study that 70 weeks prophecy and see how well it fits? And it brings you up to the Messiah. But see, brethren, we wouldn't have had that prophecy if Daniel hadn't given something to God. Who else would God have found to give it to? I don't know. I don't know who else was interested. So today we can ask, well, am I interested in what God's interested in? If I'm not, I could change that, couldn't I? Couldn't I become interested in what God's interested in? That's one of the things about learning from the Bible, is you learn to see what God likes, and you learn to see that that is important. What God cares about is important because it's eternal. This prophecy was important because it had to do with bringing the Messiah into the world and saving our souls. I was just thinking about that in our class this morning. It was just wonderful to think about how God brought Jesus into the world and who He picked. He picked John the Baptist to bring Him in. And I don't think I would have thought of John the Baptist. Don't think I would have. I would have thought of maybe somebody like a talk show host or something like that. But God picked the right one, and I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have picked the right one, but God did. John the Baptist and the people who had the right hearts, they listened to John and they appreciated him. He tells the truth. I like him. I like him. It's the only reason he's here. The only reason he's here is to introduce Jesus to us, and they could see that. He lives out in the wilderness. He just lives off the land, basically. He just wears the ascent, the basics as far as clothing is concerned. This man has something to say. See, the way God does things should be interesting to us. And therefore, that will affect what we ask for. We'll ask in accordance to what God's interested in, and we won't be so inclined to ask according to our desires. Our desires kind of change our thinking. They bias us. They prejudice us against what's really important. But Daniel gave to God, and God gave back to him. That's the wonderful message of this story about Daniel. And I'm so thankful that he was willing to give that to God. So as you think about giving and receiving, think of how you can apply it to your lives. Those of you that have families, your families are opportunities for you to give and receive every day. You put in what God asks you to give to your families. And when you receive, you think of John's words in 3 John. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And so you have to ask, well, how come the children are walking in the truth? Well, because of what John gave to them. John gave them the gospel. He gave them teaching and instruction. And what's his reward? He gets to hear about them walking in the truth. One of our daughters, Candace, was baptized a week ago Wednesday, and then she wrote up a description of why she became a Christian. And it's just hard to find any better reading material. Just to read how you can help someone else to become a Christian. Just wonderful. That's what life is. But it's all depends on giving and receiving. What are we putting into it? What are we putting into the children? What are we putting into our friends and all of those that we have an influence on? That'll determine what we're going to get back. What will we receive? You know, the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, the end of chapter 2, he said, what is our joy? What is our crown? Our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you? Aren't you our crown of rejoicing? Paul put himself into the church, put himself into his brethren. And on the last day, he was looking forward to getting something really good back, to see that not only had he been saved, but he had been able to help others to be saved too. So life, brethren, is giving and receiving. When we start off in life, we just pretty much receive. That's about all we can do, and that's all God expects. But He's giving it to us. We're receiving in order that we might grow up and mature and then develop to where we can give as well. That's the ability to reproduce yourself, maturity. But it requires that we use what God gives us, and then in return, God can give to us. And in the end, all of this will glorify God. And it will be clearly evident how good He has been at giving. How gracious and merciful and kind He's been throughout all the ages. And we want to be a part of that too. We want to share in that glory by becoming like God and like our Savior, Jesus Christ, while we're here. So let us resolve that we will do our best at giving and receiving and to truly know for ourselves the truth of Jesus' statement, it is more blessed to give than to receive. As we close this lesson this afternoon, the invitation will be extended once again. If anyone here is ready to give your life to the Lord, it is such a big step. It was a hard step for me to take because it's all you've got. God's asking you to give up all you've got. But just remember that He's the one who gave you your life. And if you'll just give it back, He can give you something far better. It's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. If a car dealer had a sale where they were offering brand new Cadillacs for a penny, what would you think of the person who held on to their penny? It's my penny. It's a shiny penny. It's pretty. It's mine. Well, we would consider them a fool, wouldn't we? But you can get so much more. Something worth thousands of times more than what you've got in your hand. Well, that's what the Lord's offering, isn't it? Giving up this short life here on earth in exchange for eternity. Eternity forever and ever and ever. Infinity and beyond. Can't even comprehend it. That's what He's offering. But He's asking you to give Him something. If you're ready to give your life to the Lord, confess your faith, repent and be baptized, we can help you in your obedience to the gospel this afternoon, or if you have something to bring before the congregation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.